standing for the reading of the Word of God tonight. You can be turning in your Bibles, if you want to, please, to the book of Daniel and chapter number 1 in the book of Daniel tonight. Daniel and chapter number 1 and tonight. I'm going to read all 21 verses, if you don't mind, and to get the setting in the text that we're going to be preaching from, and try to bring the thought. I want to try to hurry as quickly as I can through it for the sake of the meeting we're going to have. But I do want to try to get the content that I have and do the best that I can in a short time and try to give us some help from there. Daniel chapter number 1, and I want to begin reading in verse number 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom and cunning, in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and of Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he had drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel in favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children, in which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melchizedek, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink, and let our countenances be looked upon before thee. And the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melchizedek took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king commanded with them, communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of the king of King Cyrus. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that reading. Let's pray. We'll try to bring the thought God's laid on our heart tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the singing and the song service tonight, the good fellowship. Thank you for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'll undergird us now with your strength and your power. You'll fill us with the Spirit of God and with wisdom. Give us liberty and divine help from above. Bless your people. I pray, Lord, you'll stir their hearts and help them in the needs that they have in their own lives. Give them grace, help them to stand against sin and against Satan, against the world. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless those that are afflicted tonight, those that are sick, those that have special needs in their life, those that have loved ones that are suffering. I pray for them. Give us grace and help now. Help us, Lord, with the building. Help us in the meeting to follow tonight and do what needs to be done for the glory and honor of God. Bless now, Lord, as we preach the Word of God. I need your help. I pray you'll grant it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to preach tonight on the thought of these gifts that God gave unto the children of Israel. I want to preach on the thought of one great gift. Verse number 17 says, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom." Now I want you to please notice that God gave them these virtues. They didn't have them on their own. They had to be given to them by God. And you know, if it wasn't for the Lord, we'd have absolutely nothing. We're nothing within ourselves. The Bible said in John 15 that we're nothing. The branches are nothing without the vine, and how true that is. And we can do nothing. The Lord said, "You can do nothing without me." And that's true. We can absolutely accomplish nothing without, I didn't say very little now. I said we can accomplish nothing without the divine help of God. And we're going to find that God gave these four young men great help and blessed them and helped them with virtue, many virtues, Christian virtues that helped them to stand before the king. Now, the Bible said in James 1:17, the Bible said every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And how true that is. What we have tonight, folks, has been given to us by the Lord. If God has blessed you in an abundant way, whether it be in knowledge or whether it be wisdom, or if God's blessed you abundantly with money or finances or wealth or whatever, then it's from the Lord. And you ought to give God the glory for it. I sat in my chair last night, and I looked at my wife. And when we built our home, Mrs. Hall, she's a little on this skittish side of things, you know, when you do something and step out and do something. And she said, "We'll never live long enough to pay that off." And I sat in a chair last night and looked over at her and began to weep a little bit. Some tears come to my eyes. And I said, "Sweetheart, you didn't think we'd ever do it, did you?" She said, "No, I'll be honest, I didn't." And I said, "Well, isn't God wonderful?" Amen. And I sat there and bowed my head in that green chair and began to pray. And Sister Hallline, thank God for being good to us. Amen. And blessing us and giving us the ability to pay off our home. That may not mean much to you, but I'm going to tell you that brings joy and blessing to my soul. And I give God the glory for it. That gift came down from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. If God's given you good children, it's from above. God give them to you. That's right. If God's given you children that are wise, if God's given you children that are capable of learning and educating themselves in books, and they can do it, some of the best education you'll ever get will be through what you read and glean from the books that you read. It comes down, but it's from God. And God gives us those blessings. You know, and there's several godly gifts that I can mention tonight, and I don't have time to mention all of them. I want to, by introduction, I want to give us three And then I want to mention some gifts that God gave to these three young men here in the Word of God. You know, the Lord has given us the gift of faith. The gift of faith. Amen. Ephesians 2:8 said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." It's not a gift, it's the gift. I've said this a long time, I want to say it again tonight, that faith is the foundation that our Christian life is built upon. Now about a faith, hope, and charity. The Bible says the greatest of these is charity. There's no doubt about that. But at the bottom of charity, on the foundation, on the bottom, is faith. Where that's what nobody can see. They can see your charity. They can see your hope. But they cannot see your faith. It's the foundation principle that our Christian life is built upon. And God gives us that faith. God give us the faith to believe in the Son of God. Somebody said, "Well, I had that faith in myself." No, God give you that faith. No man has the ability to believe in God except God give him that faith. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God." Now, you know something? People might label me for something the way I said that, but that don't bother me at all. I've lived long enough and preached long enough to realize that it was God that saved me. I didn't save myself and couldn't save myself. It was God that saved me. God gave me that grace and God gave me that faith and God gave me the ability to take that faith and believe upon the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. And he did you the same way, the same thing. And so we have the gift of faith. Then we have the gift of life. Oh, how marvelous. Isn't it wonderful to know that we're alive? And not only alive, but we're alive forevermore. The Bible said about Jesus, said that he arose from the grave and said he's alive forevermore. And he is. And because he lives, you and I shall live also. And he's given us, you and I, that gift of love, our life. The Bible said in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Notice how different. The wages of sin is death. But, boy, I love that little three-letter word, don't you? I love that little three-letter word. The wages of sin is death, but the gift, there it is, the gift of God is eternal life through who? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, there is no greater gift that a man can have than the gift of life. You know, the medical field will spend billions of dollars trying to cure physical diseases. And I'm thankful that they do that. They do a lot of great help for people. But I wonder how much money is spent on trying to get the gospel to people that will give them the gift of life. Right. Now, I talked to a preacher this afternoon. I'm not going to tell you who it was. Not over the mic. I will later on if you want to know, but I won't over the air. I talked to a preacher this afternoon, and he said, "Brother Hall, please pray for my mother-in-law. Said she's got cancer and said she's taking blood transfusion. I think about every 3 weeks she's got to have a blood transfusion. And said she just doesn't look like she's going to make it very much longer. But said she's in this particular denomination. And said they put more confidence in the healing of the body than they do in the healing of the soul." Now, I'm glad that we've got medicines that God has given the wisdom to doctors to come up with medications and surgical procedures that will help us to live and give. But ladies and gentlemen, hey, the gift of life, sometimes I think we overlook that it's God that give us the gift of life. And eternal life is much more important. The soul is much more important than what the body is. That's right. And he's given us that gift of life. He's come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And I bless his holy name for that. Then he gave us the gift of the Comforter. The Bible said in Luke 11:13, he said, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them, get this, that ask him." I want to ask you something. Have you ever prayed and asked God to fill you with the Spirit of God? Amen. "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. I'm going to tell you, you'll never be filled with the Spirit of God, that comforter, that is one called alongside to help you, without praying and seeking God's face for that filling. And it's a wonderful thing. Now, Baptists don't hardly believe in it. They'll call you Pentecostal or something if you talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't care what they call me, as long as Sis calls me three times a day. That's good enough for me. And that's right. But I'm telling you that this gift of the Spirit, God's Spirit is not just somebody, something. He is somebody. He's a person. He is called, that's right. And He's called alongside to help. He's a comforter. And any country boy, and even you city slickers ought to know what a comforter is. I mean, when I was a boy growing up, Mama had comforts. And if we didn't have them, we'd freeze to death in the wintertime. We didn't have any heat in the house. If it got cold, we'd pull that comfort up over us. And you know what it'd do? It'd warm our old body. It made us feel good. That God has given us a comforter, one called alongside to help us, that when we're in trouble, that He is able now to comfort us in our sickness, comfort us in our trouble. He's able to comfort us when we're sad, when we're brokenhearted, when we're grieved. He is able to take a broken heart and put it all back together again. Boy, I marvel at the grace of God and what the Holy Ghost can do. I'm telling you, I've seen Him do it time and time again. Take the hearts of people that's been broken into pieces. I mean, shattered. Their dreams have been shattered. Their world has fallen in around them. And the Holy Ghost is able to take that world and put their life all back together again. Some folks seem to lose their life. I was looking on a website I had no business looking on a couple of years ago. And this woman that I personally know, I know she's the one that wrote it. I won't mention her name. But she wrote on this website, the one you're looking at this morning, and said, somebody was talking, she said, you need to get alive. And I thought, Lord, I would to God I could write back on this thing. I could, but I didn't want to. But if I could have, I'd have wrote on there and said, ma'am, I have got alive. In fact, on September the 13th, 1970, I got that life. And that life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't have to get a life. I've got a life. I don't know what she meant, get a life. But friend, I'm telling you, I got one a long time ago. And not just a life. I've got His life. I've got the life. I've got abundant life, a holy life, and an eternal life. Amen. Thank God. And it is a gift from above.
Yes, sir.
That life is a gift from above. You didn't work for it. You didn't work for your salvation. You can't show me in the Bible where you can work enough to be saved.
Amen.
Show me in the Bible where you can get good enough to be saved.
Amen.
You can't get good enough. God doesn't save good people. God saves bad people.
Amen.
God saves sinners, ladies and gentlemen. He came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. But I wonder sometimes if I'm not the chief, and I'm sure you've wondered the same thing, if you're not the chief of sinners.
Amen.
But you didn't save yourself. No man has the power to lift himself up by his own bootstraps. It took the power of Christ to lift you out of the muck and the mire of sin that you were in. Isn't it wonderful to know that we were stuck in the muck and the mire of sin and couldn't get out? It was like quicksand. The more we wiggled and twisted and turned and worked and labored and tried to get out on our own, the deeper we sank, the deeper we went down. But just as we was about to go under for the final time, that omnipotent hand of mercy came out of nowhere and reached down into somewhere and lifted our soul out of everything that was rotten and lifted up and set us up on something solid and put a song in our heart and praise in our mouth and set us on that rock and established our going, pointing us in the right direction. The gift of life. The gift of life. Now, let me go on. I'm sure there are many other gifts that we could mention, but I want to draw our thought tonight from the text and the situation that Daniel and his companions are in. According to verse number 4, the king of Babylon was looking. He was looking for those children that were been taken from Jerusalem, that were in the king's palace. He was looking for those children whom was no blemish, but they were well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in ability and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. Now, in verse 17, the Bible said God gave them these things. Daniel's wisdom and knowledge did not come from the teaching of the Chaldeans. They were going to try to teach these boys how to have enough wisdom and knowledge about them to stand in the presence of the king. But I'm going to tell you what. The teaching of the Chaldeans couldn't do that. It took the teaching of God. I'm getting ahead of myself. But I'm about to kick this stool down and move around just a little bit. Hey, they were to stand before the king. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God's given you and I the ability, ladies and gentlemen, to really stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isn't that marvelous to know that God has saved us and given us the gifts and virtues that we need in order to stand in the presence of the King of Glory? Who is this King of Glory? I'll tell you who He is. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Glory. Amen. Now, as that Bible said, open up the gates and let the King of Glory come in. If you opened up your gate and let the King of Glory come into your heart and into your life, I hope you have. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the Chaldeans didn't do this, but from the ability, God gave them to learn these things. Now, I want to say that God can give you and I the ability today to do great things. God can give us the ability to do great things. I think we've gotten the idea that we're nobodies. And the only people that God ever helped was those in the Bible. The only people God ever used to accomplish great things is these men and women in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God can give us nobodies from Kentucky. Just a bunch of old hillbillies from Kentucky. God can give us ability to do great and mighty things in His presence. You know how I know that? Because the Bible said in the book of Philippians 4:13, I can do just a few things in Christ which strengthens me. I don't believe it says that. I can do how many things? Tell me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now you tell me why we can't do great and mighty things. Some of you are very skeptical about that building back there. Where are we going to get the money? Friend, God can open up the windows of heaven and scoop shovel money out if He has to. God's able to pour more out, more blessing out on us than we're able to hold. More than we can contain within ourselves. That's His wonderful name. God can do it. You think, hey, do you think God can't do great and mighty things today? I say He can. He's given us the ability right here to carry the gospel all the way around the world. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene tonight. That's given a little old handful of nobodies down here in Madisonville, Kentucky, the ability to send the gospel of Christ around the world. And we're doing it. By way of internet, we're doing it. Yes, sir. We ought to be thankful for that and proud of it. And we ought to get behind the ministry and stand behind the ministry and help the ministry and labor in the ministry. Amen. And if we're not going to, we ought to hang our head in shame and ask God to help us get our heart right with Him, get our heart right with whoever needs to be, and get behind the thing and then send the gospel out. There are sinners out there that are dying and going to hell without God and without hope. They need to hear the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I'm telling you, we're able to send out the Word of God around the globe that sinners can be saved by the grace of God. And hey, God has enabled us to do that. It's not within ourselves. When I first came here, first marathon I had was up on Princeton Pike in the old building. Brother Jerry Clark was up there. Brother Don Ezell was sitting in the control room. And at 6 o'clock, a red light come on in that room we was in. Brother Clark said, "Preacher, go on." He said, "We're on the air." I said, "Go on what?" He said, "We're marathoning." Okay. We marathon. What do we do when we marathon? Well, we raise money. I didn't know a thing about a radio station. I know a thing about a marathon. But I am Captain Marathon tonight. My boy is getting ready to run a marathon. 50 miles. Going to run. And he told me, he said, Daddy, he said, I'm getting ready to run a marathon. I said, is that all? I said, great day in the morning. I said, I've run more marathons more than I got fingers and toes. He said, you ain't never run a marathon. I said, son, I'm not talking about running in your marathon. I'm talking about running in marathons back on WSOF. Oh, yeah, I've run a lot of them. I'm going to tell you why. I didn't know anything about radio when I came here. And I don't know much about the technical end of it now. But I'm going to tell you what. I've learned how to marathon. God didn't bring me here to work on computers. God brought me here to marathon. Amen. And to preach the gospel. And I won't say this. I'm thankful that God has used me to raise the money that He has. Yeah, we'd be amazed at the money God has helped us to raise on this radio station to send the gospel around the world. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Telling sinners that He came, that He lived, that He died, and rose again for their justification. Bless His wonderful name. And by the way, friend, He's coming again. And I'm going to tell you, He's still going to have the fresh print of the nail in His hand and the scar in His side. Ain't nobody no doubt about it. Because His own people are going to ask Him, where did you get those prints in your hands? And where did you get that wound in your side? He's going to say, from the house of my friend. That's right. He was wounded in the house of his friend. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. But the blessing of that is, according to 9, 10, 11 in the book of Romans, He set them aside that He might graft you and I in. We're Gentile dogs that are grafted into Him. Amen. We're wild olive branches grafted into Him. That's His holy name. I don't know how I got off on that, but I like it. I like running a rabbit track every now and then. Now, I got four or five things. I won't take long because we got to have a meeting. But God give these young men the ability to study. Look at verse number 4. He said, He's looking for children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, He gave them the ability to study. The Bible said there, and whom they may teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe the Chaldeans rubbed off on them too much. And I don't think it took the Chaldeans to teach them the tongue of the Chaldeans. God, what are you looking at me like that for? It didn't take the Chaldeans to teach them to speak that language. God gave them the ability to speak that language. Somebody said, now, preacher, come on now. Ladies and gentlemen, on the day of Pentecost, I believe there were 14 different nations in Jerusalem, and they all heard Peter speaking in their own language, in their tongue. Who gave Peter that ability? God Almighty, that's who did. Same one that gave these guys, boys, the ability to study. Now, if a person is going to learn anything, it was the language, he's going to have to study. I'm going to tell you something now. Come on now. Amen. You want to learn the Bible? Amen. It's going to take some time. We don't learn the Word of God. We don't come to a knowledge of this Bible overnight. Amen. And we can't take 2 minutes a day and read one verse or two verses a day and expect to ever learn the Word of God. We're going to have to study. Study this book. Study it doctrinally. Has anybody ever bought them a book of the doctrines of the Word of God and studied the doctrine of theology, eschatology? Huh? Soteriology? Anybody ever studied those doctrines? I don't think you have. There are some doctrines in the Bible that need to be studied. Have you ever studied the doctrine of sanctification, justification? Come on, I'm just telling you that God can give you understanding. If you'll study the Bible, God will help you as you study that Bible to learn some things about the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, it brings great joy when God gives you light in that book, boy, you learn something. I'm going to tell you, and it don't have to be much. Woo! I walked by that thing back there. I don't know what we was doing. Might have been a marathon. Brother Steve had them pecans. And he said, wait a minute, Doc. And he sat back there and threw them on. And he broke it apart and he handed me a whole, you know, they come in a great big kernel. He broke it, got it, and gave me a half the side of one of them. Now that was just a little, that wasn't a whole lot. Ooh, when I put that in my mouth, Lord have mercy, was it ever good? I went and bought $57 worth of things. That's how good they were. Oh, they were good. Didn't take much to whet my appetite. What I'm saying is it don't take much in this Bible to whet your appetite. Just a kernel, just a little nugget every now and then, just a little word, a little saying, a little thought to stir your heart just a little bit. And learn that, yes sir. And it takes a little bit of time. Study is also worrisome to the flesh. Now I'm going to tell you something, it's hard on the flesh to force yourself to sit and read and get other books and read books, write and take notes and do this and do that. I'm going to tell you, when I went to Bible college, I was pitiful at it. I thought, Lord, I'll never make it through here. I was ready to quit the first night. I'm telling you, it was bad. I'd been in school for so long. And I thought, Lord, I'll never learn this stuff. I don't even know what they're talking about. But I hung with it. And come a time 3 years later, when I walked across that platform and Dr. Seitler handed me that little piece of paper hanging in there on the wall and shook my hand, said, congratulations, Brother Hall. You graduated from Tabernacle. And they elected me, the student body did, to give a gift. The graduating class always gave a gift to the school. And we bought a new sound system for the school. And they let me get up there and make a little statement. And then when I concluded the statement, I said, it's been such a real honor for me to be a student and now a graduate from the greatest Bible college in America today. Dr. Saul said, hallelujah, young man. Amen. 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 I said, amen. That's right. And it was right. I believe it was right at the time. God was good to us. God help us all. But I'm going to tell you, I didn't think I'd make it, but I made her through. Hey, to study, we're going to have to apply ourselves. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if we're going to study, we're going to have a textbook. We got one. There it is. Amen. That's the textbook. There's the Bible. If we're going to have to study, we need a teacher. We got one. He's called the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we're going to study, we're going to be tested every now and then. I'm going to tell you that comes through trials and tribulations and troubles. Amen. That's right. So we got a textbook. We got a teacher. And I'm telling you, you're going to be tested.
That's right.
First night I got to Bible college, Dr. Hughes walked behind that podium and in that classroom upstairs, and he said, get out a half a sheet of paper. We're going to take a test. I said, well, this can't be too hard. Half sheet of paper. I said, this is a brief. He said, I want you to write down the 9 parts of speech. I didn't know there was that many. I found it wasn't going to be quite as easy as what I thought it was. I learned there was going to be some tests along the way. When I got some papers back and they had so many red X's on them, I quit counting them. I just folded it up and quit counting them. There were some tests along the way. Now I'm going to tell you, I failed many of them. But there were some tests that I didn't fail. I passed. And I'm here today with a little piece of paper back there that don't mean much to a lot of people, but it means a whole lot to Brother Hall. Took 3 years out of my life to get it. And I'm going to tell you something. It's worth it. The school that I went through was worth it today in the ministry. And even if I've not never been called to preach, if you don't have to be a preacher to study the Word of God, it will be worth it to you as a Christian, as a layman, as a servant of God, in whatever capacity you are, to study the Word of God and learn about Him. Learn Him. Learn Him. We're not just studying a book. We're studying about a person. That this book tells us about the person that we need to know about. He's in here on every page. His name is Jesus, by the way. That's right. Bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Woo!
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. Amen. 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 Learn about Jesus. That's right. Now, God can give us the ability to stand. He told these boys, He said in verse number 4, He wanted to look for those that could have the ability to stand before the King. Stand before the King. I wonder if you and I have ever stood before a king. I thought about Abraham. When those angels went down into Sodom and Gomorrah to get Lot, and God was going to call down and did call down far out of heaven and destroy that bait of Sodomites, and God will destroy them again. I don't care if they hear me. They're Sodomites. And they're Sodomites that are living in that lifestyle are not going to heaven. And they're not of God. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. They're not of God, okay? Amen and amen. Brother Doug and I was going to Brother McGuire's and went in a Burger King, and two women came in and had some children with them, a black woman and a white woman. And they stood there, and all at once this one reached over and patted the other one on the hiney. Then they lip locked right there in Burger King. I'm telling you, I couldn't hardly take it. It was just about more than I could stand. Or you hear what I'm saying? You think God is in that mess? I'm telling you, you can like it or lump it. It don't matter. I'm telling you, God is not in that mess.
Amen. Amen.
God ain't in that mess.
That's right.
I'm not for it. I'm against it. In fact, I'm against just about everything. Amen. But God give a. But those angels, I believe was the Holy Spirit and Jesus, went down into Sodom and Gomorrah to bring Lot and his family out. But Abraham went, and you know where he went? He went and stood before the Lord. Stood before a king. Can you imagine standing before God and talking to God? He did. He began to pray and ask God, would he spare the city for so many righteous? Yes. So many righteous? Yes. So many righteous? Yes. Oh, Lord, don't be angry. Let me speak, but just one more time. If you find so many righteous, will you spare? Yeah, I'll spare the city. He just didn't quite go far enough. But he stood before God Almighty.
Amen.
Now, folks, listen. God's given us the ability to stand before God in prayer.
That's right.
Do you realize that like Esther, that God can extend to us a golden scepter that we might walk into His presence and beseech Him for the needs that we have? Oh, what an honor that is to know that God will let you and I, just old wicked sinners that ought to be frying in hell tonight, that was found in a dunghill, lifted up out of the dunghill, a worm and no man, and yet God lifted us up out of that, washed us in His precious blood, saved us by His grace, and has given us the ability to stand before Him in prayer and divinely intercede on behalf of other people. I'm telling you, there's people all around us dying and going to hell. I wonder if we're praying for them. Are we standing before the kingdom? I said, well, I can't stand before God. Sure you can. If you're saved by the grace of God, then you, by the way, when you pray, you don't just run into God and before God. I know people that just try to rush into the presence of God. You can't do that. You got to take time and read that book and meditate and talk to the Lord. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's the most sensitive person in all the world. And you got to, He is sensitive. And I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you'll grieve Him and quench Him. Amen. And you'll get absolutely nothing from Him. But if you just be patient and tender-hearted and loving and enter into His presence, by His authority, God can do great things for you. Then I want to say also, God give them the ability to see some things. In verse number 17, and it said, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Daniel saw some things. God give him the ability to see some things that you and I have never seen. Isn't that amazing? And what do you get? What I get out of that? I get spiritual discernment. I get spiritual discernment. There's not much discernment left in this world anymore. I mean, it's like one of the men was saying earlier, I don't care if they hear me. I could give a flip less. I'm too old and too far down the road. Don't make no difference to me. One of the fellows used to be one of the dearest friends I've ever had. He preached here in this pulpit more than many times. And now he's went instead of having camp meetings, he's started having power conferences. And now it's on a website. Of all things, with their church name, and it's, well, I might as well say it, Sunlight Productions. Come on! Sunlight Productions? A church? We're not, hey, God didn't call us to do productions. God didn't call us to have a prayer conference. You can have your own power conference in a corner with the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen. That's where the power's at, is in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
It's not with some goofball that wants to ride a Harley Davidson around all over the country. Come on in the house, boys and girls.
Amen.
Like I said, I've been around too long. It don't worry me. You don't bother me a bit. You're not worrying me. It's got ridiculous. It's got ridiculous. God gave Daniel some spiritual discernment. And we ought to have enough discernment about us today to realize what sin is and what holiness is. And we ought to have enough discernment about us today to know that camp meetings and church is not designed to have power conferences or productions where men sit down and discuss things of stupidity.
Amen.
The church is for preaching.
Amen.
The church is for worship.
Amen.
The church is for fellowship.
Amen.
The church is for preaching the gospel. Come on now.
Right.
Praise God, I'm telling you, I'm so sick and tired of the mess going on in our country. Somebody said, you're starting to get mean again. Good, I ain't been mean in a long time. It's a fact. It is a fact. God have mercy on us. There's not enough spiritual discernment anymore. I'm afraid we're like the Ninevites. Man, we don't even know our right hand from our left hand. They did. That's what the Bible said about it. I walked in the office in there one day, and Brother Gray and Brother Steve were sitting in there. I was just joking around with them. Hey, one of them said something. I said, you poor benighted souls. Next day I come in and they said, we looked up that word benighted. You know, you don't think very highly of us, do you, brother? I said, fellas, I was just a joke, and really I didn't mean you were benighted. Yeah, you did. You said it. You meant it. That went on for a month, how benighted they were. But I'm gonna tell you something. Daniel had that spiritual discernment. And he had enough discernment to separate himself thoroughly and to withdraw himself from that wicked and ungodly crowd. He had spiritual discretion. There's not much discretion in the world today either. I'm talking about that discernment which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper, united with caution. That's discretion. To judge what is proper and correct, what's right and what's wrong. There's not much of that discernment. But these boys had it. And God gave it to them. They didn't learn it on their own. It was a gift. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everything that we have, God gives us. Even that spiritual discernment God gives us. Are we praying for it? Do we have enough discernment to know how to raise our children? That got quiet. I'm telling you, it takes spiritual discernment to know how to raise your family. It takes discretion to know how to raise your children, how to be correct and right in raising your family. There is a, I'm going to tell you, you can whip your children all you want to. But if you don't do it in the right attitude, in the right spirit, in the right way, it's not going to accomplish anything. Amen. Now, you might subdue them. Now, I want you to listen to what Brother Hall is getting ready to tell you. You better not, hey. You might break their will, and that's good. But if you break their spirit, you've destroyed them, friend. There is a narrow line there. Children need to be corrected where their will is broken. They're strong will. You know why I know they're strong will? I've seen some of them look their dad in the face and say, no! You break their will, but not their spirit. They gotta have some spirit about it. I mean, they gotta have that. And there's gotta be the discretion to be able to judge what is right and what's wrong and correcting that child. Amen. Amen. Then the ability, they had the ability to set, that is to rest in Christ. I find nowhere in this book that Daniel ever lost his peace or his confidence he possessed in Christ. Nowhere. He ever lose his peace. Always peaceful. Even when he was facing a den of lions, he done the same thing he always did. He went three times a day, looked out to Jerusalem, just like Solomon had prayed. He was praying that prayer that Solomon had promised God give Solomon, and prayed toward Jerusalem three times a day. And you know what? I believe those prayers were answered. I believe that's why it went back Nehemiah and Ezra went back to rebuild the city. Because of Daniel's prayers three times a day. Then God gave them the ability to shine. I mean, they just outshined everybody else. The Bible said in verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. 10 days testing, 10 times better. They tested them for 10 days on what they ate. They didn't drink no wine. No wine. Not even communion wine. For our wine bibber friends out there that might be listening. And drank wine. God said it's a sin to put wine to your neighbor's lips. Woe unto the man that does that. Amen. Communion is grape juice and unleavened bread. Right. Not wine. They didn't drink the king's wine and they didn't eat the king's meat. In 10 days, they were 10 times better than all those other young men that the eunuch was raising up. That's worthy to be noticed. 10 days, 10 times better. That's doing a pretty good job of it, ain't it? You know what that tells me? It don't take God long to do what He wants to do when He wants to do it. It took Him. He made a quick work on them boys. And He can make a quick work. He can make a quick work on you and I. God's able. Every gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness and neither shadow of turning. And God has got great virtues to give us. Hey, and listen carefully. What we need to do is behold wondrous things out of Thy law. That's what that Bible said. Lord, help me to behold wondrous things out of Thy law. There's some wondrous things in that book. And I'm going to tell you, God wants us to behold them. God wants us to find them. And they're treasures. We need to cleave to them, hold them close in our heart, and cleave to the wonderful things that God has for us, and great things. Great things He has taught us, great things He has done, and great is our rejoicing in Jesus the Son. Let's stand together.